Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We want to welcome you to the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room of AccessibleWorld.org. The date is Monday, August 11, 2014. And we have two wonderful speakers here this evening. And Brian is a very dear friend of Accessible World, and Louise will be when we hear her. Have you just purchased your first computer and don't know where to start? Do you find saving files into folders difficult? Or maybe you're an advanced user of the JAWS screen reader and you're in a place of work and you need to have phrases from web pages spoken to you automatically or to set intelligent bookmarks as you edit the presentation you need to deliver to the boss. Lisi is your friend and can help at home, in the workplace, or for study. Lisi is the world's first application ideal for people wishing to learn computing for the first time through to the power user. Through its easy-to-use menu system for complete computer beginners, context-sensitive help spoken by a human being, and dedicated quick shortcut keys for the power user, Lisi allows you to write documents, manage your email, read your talking books, keep track of your appointments, manage your contacts, hear radio stations, scan documents or PDF files, talk to your friends on Skype, and so much more. And we're very proud to know that Tech Talk has an exclusive here on the 11th, of course, today, Eastern time at 8 o'clock, and we're so delighted all of you could join us here to listen to this in-depth presentation. And this program is an amazing product in the years to come. Every JAWS user should have Lisi. And thank you again for attending to find out why. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great privilege and honor at this time to introduce Louise Keel and Brian Hartgen to lead us in the discussion. The microphone is yours, and welcome to Tech Talk.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's always a great pleasure to deliver a presentation for everyone listening to Tech Talk. And this evening, you're going to hear about what we think is a very exciting product indeed, and which has a huge amount of potential for the future. Before we get into that, I should say that I'm Brian Hartgen, and on this occasion, I'm representing Aztec, a national UK assistive technology company, and one of the products that we've developed over many years is JSay, which allows people to talk to the computer using a natural voice and to be able to completely control it without the need to use the keyboard. We believe that Lisi, the product that we're going to talk about today, is equally innovative and the first computing application which can be used by complete computer beginners through to extremely experienced users. Please don't think for a moment that this product will not be of value to you if you've been using a screen reader for some time. During this presentation, there will be plenty to interest you. We call the component of this product for beginners Lisi Basic, and the tools for the more experienced user, Lisi Advanced. I should say to set the scene that, at the moment, Lisi uses the JAWS for Windows screen reader produced by Freedom Scientific. This is how we would like the presentation to run. For the first 90 minutes or so, we'll tell you about the concept of Lisi and demonstrate some of the many exciting features of Lisi Basic and Advanced. This part of the presentation is recorded because we have a lot to get through, we didn't want to miss anything, and we wanted to make sure that everyone had enough information. However, after that, we are here live, there will be plenty of time to ask questions, and we hope that there will be quite a few of those. So if we could please ask that you leave your questions to the end, that would be excellent, thank you. Do enjoy what we hope you'll find is good information about this upcoming product. Lisi is the brainchild of its co-developer Lulu Keel, and we thought we would start by talking a little bit about how the concept of the product came about. Lulu, welcome to Tech Talk.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how the concept of Leesy came into being.
Well, it's one of those times when a little spark suddenly turns into a forest fire. We had been doing some work on a script for a multimedia online role-playing game that I play, and also the game has about 200 visually impaired users all told, and we'd been working on the script for quite a little while, and we'd found that we actually work very well together when creating scripts and computer programs. I sort of have a bit of a flair for thinking about how it should look and feel and what it might be able to do, and then Brian does the coding and programming, I test it, and in this way we'd managed to create a very fun and very usable script for this game, and people had really, really liked it. So that was all done, all over with. We'd done several updates and it was sort of taken it as far as we could go. So we're sitting at home one evening and you were saying, oh, I need something else to get my teeth into. I don't have anything to do. I want another project. And I was sort of saying, as you do, well, what we really need to do is come up with a program, a piece of software that everybody will really want, from the real absolute beginner newbie to the power user. It wants to be something that isn't too expensive, that has a real sort of novelty value, that does things that nobody else can do yet, that has kind of real, want it now, kind of that kind of feel to it. It's got to be something like that. That's what we need to design. And I remember Brian saying to me, yeah, right, but what? And so we were just sitting, listening to music and having a glass of wine, and all of a sudden the idea popped into my head. I remembered what it had been like for me when I got my first computer about 8 or 9 years ago now. And I was really scared. I'd had one day's training. I came home with it, turned it on, and I thought, well, now what? You know, you do tend to forget what you've learned when faced with a screen reader and a computer that you don't know anything about, and you just don't know what to do. You have no idea, and you're scared to death of breaking something. And I thought, what we really need is a multitask-performing piece of software that will be able to help you, will be able to train you, will be friendly, encouraging, will encourage you to grow and encourage you to learn how to use JAWS, but when you don't need it, will be able to fade back into the background and also provide you with such a cool bundle of tools, utilities and services that you won't ever want to be without it on your computer again. So this is going to be your friend for life, basically.
It's quite a challenge, really.
Very much so. So we began with what I might call really the easy bit. How do we want this friend for the new computer user to look, feel, and sound? And then the idea started to flow. And we then went on from there to add the cool numbers of utilities, tools, and services that this piece of software could provide. And that's how Leesy started. And, of course, you then have to think of a cool name. We tried a few, didn't we?
We did,
I remember coming up with Jay Friendly.
Yes.
Was one of our choices. But it's not what I wanted. It's not... It didn't pop. It was one of my favourite expressions.
She does a lot more than just be your friend.
Friend, yes. It just didn't pop. And then I suddenly thought, learn, enable, advance, so easy. And that's Leesy.
Because that is what we all aspire to do, isn't
yes.
it? Irrespective of our computing ability,
yes.
we all want to learn more things.
And also, irrespective of whether we have sight or not.
That's right.
We all want to learn, enable, and advance. And that's basically what Leesy does. And whether you're a computer newbie or an advanced user, you will really want this piece of software on your computer. Believe me, you will.
Okay, we'll hold you to that. So what does Leesy look like? We've heard about how great she's going to be.
When you start out in the world of a new computer, you're going to want to have a very structured system to work in. And Leesy will give you that so that you can very easily choose what you want to do. But you will always be in complete control of it. You can work through this menu system using up or down arrow keys or first letter navigation so that you can move at your own pace as quickly or as slowly as you need to. There will also be, at every step of the way, very easy to understand help. And it's also context sensitive, so whatever part of whatever application you're in, there will always be help there for you. The other thing is that Lisi has a human voice. It isn't fair to suddenly make you have to understand a computer voice. Some people just can't at the beginning. And I don't know why this hasn't been addressed before. The bottom line is that in the end, you will need to be able to understand a text-to-speech engine. And there are some very human-sounding ones out there at the moment. There are the Vocalizer expressive voices and, of course, the Evona voices. In the end, you will need to understand what one sounds like. But at the beginning, it would be nice to actually have a human voice helping you to get to grips with your new computer. So Lisi has a human voice, but it is a very responsive voice when you're moving through menus. If you need to stop talking, it will do so instantly. If you need the help at any time to pause, you can pause it, restart it, alter the volume of it. It's really, really responsive. You control Lisi. She doesn't control you.
So Lisi cannot speak everything, and the JAWS voice, whichever text-to-speech engine you're using, is obviously reading out a good amount of on-screen detail.
Yes.
But the idea, of course, behind the human voice mixing it with the text-to-speech is to gently, gently introduce you to what it will be like when you eventually let go of the menu system.
But the whole point of Lisi is that she will help you as much as you need. She will completely hold your hand at the beginning and give you as much help as you want, but she doesn't cosset you completely. In the end, she really wants you to be able to use JAWS as much as possible on its own. Again, as I said, learn, enable, and advance. She will gently encourage you to grow. So any time that you need to be able to input text, you will hear a JAWS voice. If you need to answer a question, the question is usually asked in a JAWS voice.
Let's talk about this menu structure for a little bit, if we could, because when you're in a menu, most users of Lisi who are using what we might call Lisi Basic will not be able to get out of the menu. If you press the Windows key, you're still going to be in a menu. If you Alt-Tab away, you're still going to be there. So I guess that provides a very safe environment for people to work in.
Yes, it does. If you suddenly find that you're somewhere you don't want to be, you can press the Escape key, and it will take you back one step into the next menu back. So it is a very, very safe, very structured environment to work in.
It's no secret that in the past a number of different companies have tried a menu-structured approach to their applications using bespoke programs built for accomplishing different tasks.
Yes.
Now, that approach is, I think, very comforting to some extent because whichever application you work within, it's going to have a consistent look and feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do something that the program doesn't do, such as social networking, for example, that really puts you in some difficulty, doesn't it?
It does, rather. As far as possible, we've used mainstream applications to work with Lisi. Applications that every computer user will need to know about. Some people will need to use them to do with work, to do with study, use them in the home. They might be using Lisi on a computer that they share with their family. It really is better to use mainstream applications where we possibly can. Where we can't, then yes, we have written our own applications. But on the whole, mainstream applications is what we've definitely gone for.
And it is the help which accompanies those mainstream applications, together with some tools built on top of them, which makes the computing experience even easier, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've sort of used what we might call a Lisi overlay on these mainstream applications to make them just that little bit easier, a little bit more accessible, going from accessible to really usable and easy, saving you lots of time and effort.
So in summary, and it's important to say that we can't demonstrate everything within this presentation as to what Lisi can do, because there are so many things. Tell us some of the things that she is able to do for you.
We could basically write a book right now about all the things Lisi could do. But you can manage your email, you can use a word processor, surf the internet, read talking books, read audible books, you can search for books in several different book catalogues. there is a wonderful thing called Lisi Connect, which is the central repository for all contacts information, such as addresses, Twitter usernames, Skype, email addresses, everything. And that is not just an address book, believe me. It can do lots more than just store your addresses. Lots and lots of things she can do. She's a cool lady.
Well, you've had 9 years, as you've said, of working with a computer now. So I think you're fairly experienced in terms of how it works. Tell us some of the things that you hope that Lisi might be able to do for you.
I just absolutely can't wait to have Lisi on my machine. There are so many cool things. For start, everything that you can do when you're word processing, things like Lisi points, Lisi clips, Lisi cuts, just so many cool things to save me time and effort when I'm writing things. But then there's Lisi Skype. With the demise of a Skype program I was recently using, Skype has become a lot more difficult, and I can't wait to get Lisi Skype on my machine. Then there are Lisi Alerts, helping me to work on web pages and to find what I want quickly and easily. There's the Lisi Radio, the new radio player that we're building that's just going to be so exciting, with its presets of 10 most popular radio stations, so I can see what's hitting the top of the Lisi charts and just flick through them easily and quickly, and of course put in my own favourites. There are Lisi tags, we're going to be hearing about those later, and being able to actually use those with the Lisi playlist editor to make my own playlists in either Winamp or FUBAR 2000. And there's just so many great things that I can't wait to be using on my computer. I don't have this yet. I want it.
You're dazzling me. I don't know about anybody else. That's Lulu, and we'll come back to her towards the end of the presentation. If a user is working with Lisi for the first time, and if he or she is not used to working with a computer, Lisi is designed to start automatically when the Windows operating system is fully loaded. She presents you with a simple menu of choices reflecting the tasks that a person would typically want to do with a computer, like this.
Hi, I'm Lisi. What would you like to do? Write a document or letter.
So she's friendly from the get-go. She's welcoming you to the program, and she's asking what you would like to do. And we have the first item here on the main menu, which is write a document or letter. I can use the down arrow key in order to move through the items on the menu, or I can use first letter navigation. I'm going to press down arrow for the moment so that you get an idea as to the way that Lisi is talking, and also to give you a feel for the kind of tasks you can carry out.
Check your email. Surf the internet. Scan a document or PDF file. Listen to the radio. Read talking books. Read audible books.
Now I'm going to tap the down arrow key quite firmly so that you can hear the reaction time between me striking the key and Lisi giving a response.
Open Lisi Connect.
So it was very quick, wasn't it? Let's continue with the menu.
Open Lisi Search. Open the Lisi Diary. Open the Lisi Clock. Send or receive tweets. Make a Skype call. Improve your keyboard skills. Get help. Shut down your computer.
And if I press the down arrow again,
write a document or letter.
It wraps round to the beginning. I can also press the home key and the end key to move to the top and the bottom of the menu respectively. And if I use first letter navigation, for example, if I press O,
open Lisi Connect.
She's very responsive. If I press S,
send or receive tweets.
If you press enter on a menu item, you may get into a submenu of choices relating to what you've chosen. We can always go back a level, in other words, back to the main menu, by pressing the escape key. I'm not going to detail too many keystrokes in this presentation because you're likely to forget them, but there are three keys which have special significance. These are the three keys to the immediate right of F12 on the computer keyboard, so they're very easy for anybody to find. They are, from left to right, the print screen key, the scroll lock key, and the pause or break key. With Lisi active, these keys perform special functions. The leftmost key will always get you back to the main menu. The center key will take you into what we call the Lisi application menu, and that will present to you options appropriate to the program in which you're working. We will get to that later. The rightmost key will always give you help. So, if you're in the main menu as we are now and you don't know that you can use the up or down arrow keys to move through the items, we can press the help key.
You're in the main menu. Press the up or down arrow key to move through the available choices. Press the enter key to select the one you want. If you know what you're looking for, press the first letter of the menu option followed by the enter key.
Okay, the volume can be adjusted independent of the jaw's speech, which is useful, and we can also pause the help at any time. So, if I press the help key again...
You're in the main menu.
And I've paused it with a keystroke. Let's resume the playing of the help now.
Press the up or down arrow key to move through the available choices.
So you can see how that would really, really help when we get into more complex situations, particularly on the internet, for example. Now, while I won't detail all of the items on the Lisi main menu, there are some which are worthy of special attention. So let's deal with those now. The first item was write a document or letter. Now, in order to get the best from Lisi, we do highly recommend the use of Microsoft Office, if at all possible. So in this case, writing a document or letter, it's going to be Microsoft Word. Now, if that isn't available, Lisi can use HJPad, which is a very simple, although quite effective, word processor, which ships with the JAWS product. In the case of sending and receiving email, by default we recommend Microsoft Outlook, but Lisi is capable of working with not only Windows Live Mail, but also Mozilla Thunderbird too. So hopefully you're beginning to get the picture that we don't just expect people to have Microsoft Office. Although it's recommended, we do realize that it's not always possible, and so we provide access to other tools which could potentially be used. The Lisi Diary is a very simple, easy-to-use calendar. A lot of people do have great difficulty with calendars, understandably, and so we've created this very easy-to-use Lisi Diary. You can store your appointments there. Obviously, you can go back to them. You can edit them, delete them, attach notes to them, and those notes can be unlimited text. So if you wanted to store a meeting agenda as part of an appointment, for example, that wouldn't be a problem at all. The Lisi clock is exactly what it says. It's going to obviously tell you the time. There are comprehensive stopwatch and countdown timer features and so on. Now, as well as the responsiveness of the menus when you're moving through them, I hope you're noticing a couple of other things. First of all, you're only getting the information that you've asked for. So when we went into the menu, Lisi just read the first item. She didn't read the menu from top to bottom. Secondly, you'll notice that the menu options are not numbered. It's surprising how many people have come to dislike telephone automation systems that invite you to press one for this and two for that and so on. Because by the time you've got to the end of the list, you've forgotten what it was that you went into the menu for in the first place. So all the items on the menu just start with an initial letter. They're not numbered. And we hope that in time you will learn the relevant key to press in order to get there more quickly. So let's find the first item on the main menu, which is write a document or letter. Remember, I can press the home key to get right back there.
Write a document or letter.
So here I am on the option. I'm going to press enter.
What would you like to do? Create a document.
So here we have items relative to document creation, opening them and deleting them. And I should also point out that these menus are also being displayed on the computer monitor and are also available on a Braille display, should you have one. Let's continue to move down this menu.
Store your home address. Create a letter from your home address. Store your temporary address. Create a letter from your temporary address.
Let me explain this concept, because you can, of course, create a new blank document, or you can create a letter based on a number of different templates. So typically, if a person was using this at home, he or she might store their home address, and then we can create a letter based on that. If, though, you're working for maybe a voluntary organization, or you're at an alternative address, perhaps a family member, you might want to store a temporary address and in the future, just while you're living there for a little while, create a letter based on that instead. So we have the two options there.
Open a document.
This presents you with a very simple list of the documents that you've previously created. Often when you buy a computer for the first time, Microsoft Word or other word processors will want you to store documents in the My Documents folder. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But people who have never used a computer before, if they go into My Documents, they may see various other subfolders and files which have been placed there either by the Windows operating system or by the word processing package. And there may be some confusion as to why those documents are there when they haven't created them. And so we only give you at this stage the documents that you've created in that simple list.
Delete a document.
Deleting a document will present you with a list of documents that it's possible to delete. That is by design. You are not doing this from the Open a Document list. You're actually doing it from a separate menu item. So you're making a conscious decision that you want to delete this particular document.
Go back to the main menu.
And we have an option to go back to the main menu, although you could press the Escape key, which I'll do now.
What would you like to do? Write a document or letter?
And here we are, back to write a document or letter. So the first thing I think we need to do if we're going to write any letters, and we are going to write one, we're going to write one to Robert Acosta, who of course chairs the Tech Talk presentations. In order to do that, I need to ideally set up my home address. So that is what I'm going to do first. So where are we? Let me just press the repeat key and find out where we are.
Write a document or letter.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to press enter.
What would you like to do? Create a document.
Arrow down.
Store your home address.
That's what we're looking for. I'll press enter.
Store home address dialog. Title edit.
We are now in a simple form that we can tab through. The form has been completely designed with accessibility in mind. So every time we press the tab key, we're going to hear something meaningful. And of course, I can always press the help key in order to get very context sensitive help. So the first item in the form is the title field, and I'm going to complete all of this. So I'm going to put Mr. in here, and I'm going to press tab.
First name, edit.
Here's the first name field. Let's just get some help.
You are in the first name field. Please type the first name here. We suggest the first letter of the name is capitalized. Press the tab key to move to the next field, or press Escape to cancel.
Okay, we suggest it's capitalized simply because this is going on a letter, and hopefully the setting up of your home address will be a one-time process. So in that case, we're going to want to make sure that it's perfect. I'm going to type Brian in here and tab.
Last name, edit.
I put Hartgen and tab.
Address line 1, edit.
So here we have address line 1. I'm going to put 22 Forest Road, tab.
Address line 2, edit.
I don't have an address line 2, and it's not mandatory at all. We don't have to fill it in.
Town or city, edit.
I'm going to put Caerphilly in here. That's where we live, in South Wales. And tab.
State or county, edit.
Mid Glamorgan is the state or the county. Tab.
Zip or postal code, edit.
The postcode, I'm going to put CF19 4EB, for the want of something better to put here. Tab on.
Telephone number, edit.
If we wanted to, we could insert a telephone number here, because some people do like telephone numbers as part of the address.
Email address, edit.
And some people like the email address too, so we could fill that in.
Make the text bold, checkbox checked.
Now we come to a series of options about how you can customize the presentation of the address. So we have some checkboxes, and again, JAWS is announcing these very well, and they're displayed on the screen too. The first is make the text bold. By default, it is checked because it always looks quite nice if an address is at the top of the letter emboldened. Maybe you have a preference to have it centered, maybe right aligned. we're going to come to all that in just a moment, but for now, this checkbox is checked. Let's continue to tab.
Insert today's date, checkbox checked.
Do we want today's date inserted when the letter is created with our home address at the top, and the date will be below it at the left margin with a blank line in between? So again, that box is checked by default, and we'll prove it works shortly. Tab on.
Choose an address from Leesy Connect. Checkbox checked.
Now, you heard Lulu mention Leesy Connect earlier on. That is the central repository for everything relating to contacts. We will explore it later, I promise you. And what it's asking here is, once the letter template has been set up, do you want Leesy Connect to bring up all your contacts so that you can select an address from there that you've previously stored? On this occasion, I'm going to say no.
Not checked.
By pressing the space bar to uncheck it, because I don't have any contacts. Oh dear, nobody loves me. I don't have any contacts in Leesy Connect, so there's no point in displaying it right now. Let's continue to tab.
Where should the address be placed on the page? Address should be at the left margin. Radio button checked. 1-4.
We now have some radio buttons, and Jaws usefully announced, where would you like this address to be on the page? We have the left margin.
Where should the address be placed on the page? Address should be centered. Radio button checked. 2-4.
I'm just arrowing down here. Of course, if I were to press the help key...
You are focused on a group of radio buttons. Press the down arrow key to move through the available choices. The options control where you would like the address to be placed on the page. The options are... Address should be at the left margin. Address should be centered. Address should be at the right margin, and address should be justified. Press the tab key to move to the next field, or press escape to cancel.
Fantastic. So we're on the right track, obviously, aren't we? That is where I want the address to be on the page. I want it to be centered. So I'm going to press tab.
OK button.
There's the OK button. I'll press enter.
What would you like to do? Create a document.
And we're back to what we call the Leesy Word menu. So we've stored our home address. Leesy knows where we live and all the details about how we want the address displayed. I'm going to down arrow now so that we can actually create a letter based on that template.
Store your home address. Create a letter from your home address.
Okay, that's the one. Press enter.
Create a letter from your home address dialog. Please type the name you would like to give to this letter, then press enter, edit.
Now the letter, as I say, is for Robert Acosta at Tech Talk, so I'm going to give this the name Tech Talk. I'm now going to press enter.
Just a moment while I create the letter based on your home address.
The letter title is Tech Talk. Your letter is ready to begin.
Or is it? Let's find out. I'm going to press Insert T to read the current title.
Title is techtalk.rtfhjpad.
And I've chosen to use HJPad as the Leesy word processor on this occasion. We will come back to Microsoft Word later. The cursor should be at the end of the document right now, all ready for us to begin the letter. I'm going to press the up arrow key.
Blank.
And that's correct. I would expect a blank line to be there. I'm going to press up arrow again.
11 August 2014.
And that is today's date, the 11th of August 2014. I'm going to press the up arrow once more.
Blank.
And again.
CF194M.
That's our postcode. Now, ordinarily, you wouldn't probably do what I'm going to do now. You would just take Leesy's word for it that she'd done everything correctly. But I want to prove to you that it is working. I'm going to press Insert F. And this will tell us various characteristics about the document.
Font is bold, Times New Roman, 12-point centered.
Now, remember that we asked Leesy to embolden the text. We asked her to center it as well. And that's exactly what she's done. Let's just arrow up some more.
Mid Glamorgan, carefully. 22 Forest Road. Mr. Brian Arjun.
And that's the top of the document. If I come down the document...
22 Forest Road, carefully, Mid Glamorgan, CF194M, blank, 11 August 2014, blank, blank.
And that's where she placed us. If we check the characteristics of that now...
Font is Times New Roman, 12-point left justified.
Notice that the emboldening is not there, and we're back at the left margin again. Now, if we wanted to have the text justified or anything else, there are lots of ways that we can do that, but... To all intents and purposes, Leesy has done everything that we asked her to do. So I'm now going to type some text in the letter. Dear Bob, thank you very much indeed for inviting us to speak at Tech Talk. It is always a pleasure, and we hope the audience enjoy what we have to say. Okay, I want to give you quite a bit of text there. Let's now bring up the Leesy application menu relative to HJPAD. Don't forget that we can do this by pressing the Escape key, or we can press the application menu key. That is the center key of the block of three that I mentioned earlier.
What would you like to do? Insert today's date.
So we could insert today's date. If we hadn't instructed Leesy to do that automatically, we could do it here.
Start reading from the current position.
So we could start reading from where the cursor is located, but that wouldn't give us very much right now because we're at the end of the document.
Start reading from the top of the document.
Or from the top.
Find text.
We could find text. Now, most word processors do have a find facility. They also have a find and replace. So why have we built our own, which is what we've done? Simply because it's much easier to use. Often when you use even a tool like Find or with Control F in a word processor, you type in what you want to search for, you press Enter, and invariably you have to press Escape, and then you have to read the current line, you hope you're in the right place, and so on. Ours is very simple. You just type in what you want to search for, press Enter, and you're right there.
Find the next instance of this text.
So if that wasn't the correct instance that you were looking for, then you could activate this menu option and you'd look for the next instance. There are direct keystrokes for all of these things if you don't want to use the menus.
Here, information about this document.
Now, this is the one that I'm looking for. There are other options on the menu, but not too many. But I do want to activate this option so you can hear what information we know about it.
The document contains 44 words, 13 lines, 239 characters. Edit.
And you're back into the HJPAD document when we know that because we heard the term edit. There's one other thing I'd like to do in this document before we save it, and that is to embolden the body of the text. So we have our address bold, but we don't have the rest of it bold. So I'm going to arrow up here.
Land, dear Bob.
Okay, and we're on Dear Bob. If I press Home. Jaws says D, which indicates that we're on the right character. I'm going to use our Leesy Select feature. This works in text documents, on web pages, in emails, in PDF files, and many other areas too. The concept is that you mark the start point of the text that you want to select. You then down arrow or use any other facility to move to the end of where you want the text to be highlighted, and then you press another key and the text between the two marked points is selected. I'm going to press the keystroke now in order to mark the beginning point.
Begin selection D.
Okay, and it said begin selection D. Now I'll just arrow down here. I don't need to worry about holding down the shift key or anything else like that.
Land, thank you very much indeed for inviting us. Pleasure, and we hope the audience enjoy what we have to say.
Okay, I'm going to press end.
Land.
Which makes sure that I'm at the end of the sentence, the end of the line. I'm going to press another key, which is quite near in location on the keyboard to the begin and end selection keys.
First line of selection, dear Bob, end line of selection will be pleasure, and we hope the audience enjoy what we have to say.
This is very useful if you're selecting pages and pages of text, because you've often forgotten where you started the selection and you want to be reminded. So now we know, because it said first line of selection will be, and so on. We just need to mark the end point now.
End selection.
And that is indeed selected. We want to embolden that, don't we? So, back into the menus.
What would you like to do? Insert today's date.
Formatting and printing.
Formatting and printing.
Press Enter.
What would you like to do? Change bold.
Change bold, that's what we need. Press Enter.
Edit bold on.
And the bold is now on. See how easy that was? The document is as we want it. And we need to back out of here. We need to go and look at something else. So I'm going to press Escape.
What would you like to do? Insert today's date.
And press Escape again.
What would you like to do? Write a document or letter.
Let's just review that. We pressed Escape in order to go back to the application menu, and we pressed that again, the escape key, in order to go back to the main menu. Now, what Lisi has done is she's actually closed the document. The document has been saved, that's important, and the word processor has been closed. We're almost finished with everything that I want to demonstrate in terms of word processing, although, of course, there is a lot more to be found when you get the product. But one thing I did want to focus on is spell checking, because, again, this is really quite a problematic area, particularly at the moment, because with Office 2013 and Microsoft Word in particular, the old feature within the JAWS program to read a word in context has gone. And this isn't the fault of Freedom Scientific at all. This is the fact that the mechanism by which the word in context was being retrieved by JAWS has disappeared from the Word program. Unfortunately, as often happens, when technology advances, accessibility sometimes takes a backward step. It is important to hear the word in context sometimes, because if you've got quite a lot of spelling errors in a particularly large document, you may find that you've forgotten the context in which you wrote something, and so you really want to hear the word as you intended it to be in the document. I am using Office 2013 for some of my word processing. And in fact, I've got a document in front of me that we're going to be doing quite a bit of work with, particularly when we come to Lisi Advanced. This is a document for the Burt's Place podcast that Lulu and I produce. It is a highly scripted, dramatized podcast, and so there is a lot of dialogue in this document, as you would expect, because it is quite a large podcast episode, and I thought that this would be a good one to spell check, because the Burt's Place podcast, to some extent, centers around magical creatures and references. And so there are some terms in here which are not going to be part of the Microsoft Word spell checking dictionary. Because of the problems of the Microsoft Word spell checker in particular, we have developed our own interface within Lisi to deal with this situation. So I'm going to focus now on the Burt's Place podcast script.
Doover.dot compatibility mode word.
The podcast name was Doover or Die for Burt, so the document name is Doover. I'm going to go to the top of the document.
Introduction.
In order to give you something that might be familiar, first of all, I'm going to type a line of text at the head of this document so that when we do run the spell checker, you will first hear something which is familiar, and then we'll get into the unfamiliar and see how it works. So I'm going to type this. T-T-H-I-S is a test. T-T-E-S-T.
This is a test.
I'm going to go back into the Lisi application menu.
What would you like to do? Insert today's date.
So I'm looking for spell checking.
Spell check this document.
I typed SP very quickly. I'm going to press enter.
Next error. This T-T-H-I-S. First suggestion. This T-H-I-S.
So hopefully that is very clear. We heard next error. And then we heard this. JAWS spoke the word, then spelled it. Then it said, first suggestion. And then we heard the word this. And then we heard it spelled T-H-I-S, which is correct. If I arrow down,
T-I-T-H-E-S.
We're getting the next suggestion spoken and then spelled.
T-E-T-H-Y-S.
Okay, it's the first one I want, so I'm going to up arrow.
This T-H-I-S.
And press enter.
Next error, test, T-T-E-S-T, first suggestion, test, T-E-S-T.
And again, that is correct, but if it wasn't the choice that we had in mind, we could arrow down to get the next one. Press enter again.
Next error, swollen, S-W-O-L-E-N, first suggestion, swollen, S-W-O-L-L-E-N.
So the word is swollen, and it's been misspelled in the document. So I'm going to press Insert F7, which will read us the correct context.
It didn't take us long to realize that something was very wrong, and we ran to what had been Bert's closet, where we found Bert writing on the floor, his face swollen and contorted with pain, struggling to breathe.
Perfect. That's exactly what we want. We heard the current sentence surrounding the misspelled word. We didn't hear the current line. Nothing was incomplete. That gives us exactly what we want there. And I'm going to accept word's suggestion by pressing enter.
Next error. Spellwork. S-P-E-L-L-W-O-R-K. First suggestion. Spellwork. S-P-E-L-L space W-O-R-K.
So it's suggesting that that word, spellwork, should be two words, in fact, and we heard the space in the middle. Again, let's get the context.
I worked long enough with Bert to know spellwork when I see it.
We could keep going through that document and just hearing the errors giving us a very, very nice interface in order for us to move through and change the words that we want. And of course, when we get to the end of the document, the spell check, it will tell us that the spelling check is complete. The next thing I'd like to demonstrate, as far as Lisi Basic is concerned, although again, it can be used with Advanced, and in fact, I would use this feature a lot, is Lisi Connect. We'll take a brief look at this, although it is a very powerful tool. As we've said, you can store information about your contacts in Lisi Connect, and I'm going to do that now. Let's go back to the main menu by pressing the main menu key.
Hi, I'm Lisi. What would you like to do? Write a document or letter?
Now I'm going to open Lisi Connect by typing the letter O.
Open Lisi Connect.
I'm going to press enter.
What would you like to do? Create a new Lisi connection.
We're going to create a new Lisi connection, and essentially that means a new contact. Remember, we don't have any contacts at the moment. I'm going to press enter.
Store Lisi Connect entry dialog, title edit.
Again, we're in a very, very similar form to the one that we used when we were storing our home address. We can tap through it. We do have context-sensitive help. So I'm going to just fill some of this in. I'm going to put Mrs. and tab.
First name, edit.
And I'm going to put Belinda in the first name field.
Last name, edit.
And James.
Email address, personal, edit.
Now, we could put in Belinda's personal email address if we wanted to. So this is a slightly different form, as you're already seeing, to the one we've experienced before. So I'm going to put Belinda at mydomain.com. Press tab.
Email address, work, edit.
We could fill in her work email address. We won't do that right now.
Skype username, edit.
We could talk to Belinda on Skype, and we'll do that. We're going to type Belinda James, 2242. That is her Skype username. Press tab.
Twitter username, edit.
We could put in her Twitter username here. So we'll put Belinda James as the Twitter username.
Company name, edit.
We could fill in her company name.
Address line 1, edit.
And address line 1.
Address line 2, edit. Town or city, edit. State or county, edit. Zip or postal code, edit. Home telephone number, edit. Work telephone number, edit. Mobile or cell phone number, edit. Notes, edit.
And we can even store some notes in here if we want to, relating to Belinda. I'm going to press tab.
OK button.
Here's the OK button. Press enter.
What would you like to do? Create a new Lisi connection.
And we go back to the Lisi connection menu. This time I'm going to arrow down.
View or modify Lisi connections.
And that's what we want to do. Press enter.
List of Lisi connections dialog. List 1, list view. Belinda James, 1 of 1.
And we have one Lisi connection here, Belinda James. Of course, you can store as many as you like. They are arranged in alphabetical order, and we could simply use first letter navigation, or we could move through them in some other way. I'm going to press enter on Belinda James.
List of details for Belinda James dialog. List 1, list view. Title, Mrs. 1 of 19.
Now we have all kinds of information about Belinda James. We know her title, it's Mrs. Arrow down.
First name, Belinda. Last name, James.
James.
Company name, not stored.
Now, she doesn't have a company name, so it's not stored. But, of course, we could change this at any time. We could simply edit the contact information for Belinda.
Email address, personal, Belinda at mydomain.com.
That's her email address.
Email address, work, not stored. Skype username, Belinda James 2242. Twitter username, Belinda James.
Now, if you press enter on any one of these items, a number of things could happen. So if we press enter on the email field, and remember Belinda's email is already inserted here, it would create a new message in your default email client for her. With her email address already filled in the to field, you will be in the subject field and you could type your subject, press tab and type the body and so on. If you press enter on any of the address fields, if we had entered Belinda's address, the address for her would be typed directly into our document. So remember, we created our letter earlier on, and we were asked if we wanted to bring up our list of addresses in Leesy Connect. Well, we could have done that. We could have pressed enter on Belinda's address, and we could have inserted her address directly into our letter if we were writing to her. If we press enter on the Twitter username field, the Twitter username will be copied to the Windows clipboard so that you could then go and paste it into your favorite Twitter client. If you press enter on the telephone number field, you get the telephone number displayed in the virtual viewer, so you can read it character by character if you want to. And that's often important. You will want to read the telephone number in a slow manner while you're keying it into the phone. So we've done that, and at the bottom of that screen, there is a link which asks you to activate it by pressing enter if you would like to call the user on Skype. So there are a number of things that can be done in Leesy Connect, and at the bottom of the Belinda Jane screen, we have two further options, which are edit the contact details for her, or we could delete the entry altogether. So again, you're making a conscious decision as to what it is that you want to do there. Let's just back out of here with Escape.
List of Leesy Connections dialogue. List 1, list view, Belinda James, 1 of 1.
And notice we've gone right back to our list of contacts. Press Escape again.
What would you like to do? Create a new Leesy connection.
And Escape again.
What would you like to do? Write a document or letter.
And we're back to the main menu, logically enough. The next thing I'd like to show you is Leesy Search. Leesy Search has the ability and the potential to be something absolutely brilliant. At the moment, you can search up to 3 online book catalogues. Now, you might think, well, I can do that from the website. But often, it's very challenging to do it from the website. You often have to go to the book provider's website, if you can remember what that is. You would have to find an edit box for a search, type it in, press enter, find where the results start, and so on. So it's actually quite cumbersome to do it. It's much easier if you use a tool like Leesy Search. So you can enter details about what it is that you're looking for. Leesy will go out onto the internet, quickly find if results are available that match the criteria. If results do exist, she'll bring them back to you. You can then read them, and there's a lot more that you can do as well. There are 3 providers at the moment, as I say. The RNIB in the UK have an online book catalogue. There is Bookshare, and there is Audible. Now, Audible is for audiobooks at audible.com or audible.co.uk, and it's that I'd like to use to demonstrate Leesy Search because it has wide appeal. So here I am on the main menu. I want Open Leesy Search.
Open Leesy Search.
Press enter.
What would you like to do? Search the RNIB catalogue.
Down arrow.
Search the Bookshare catalogue. Search the Audible catalogue.
I'll press enter here.
Search for a book with Audible dialogue. Please type the book author you would like to search for, then press enter. You can include a book title if you wish. Edit.
I don't want to include a book title. I'm going to search for Dick Francis. I'm just going to type that into this edit field and press enter.
Search results are available. One moment while I load the page.
Link graphic refusal, a Dick Francis novel, Felix Francis Link.
So here we are on the first one, which is called Refusal. Leesy checked, first of all, and discovered very quickly there were results there. And we could have brought them back to you at that stage, but it's much more important that you go onto the Audible website because there are all kinds of things you can do there. You can play a sample. You can buy the book, of course, add it to your shopping cart, and it gets put into your library. One of the things you can do on the Audible website, of course, is to press enter on any of the links for the books. And then there is a heading, if you look hard enough, called Publisher's Summary. And if you arrow down, you're then able to read the Publisher's Summary. And if you like it, you can add it to your cart. If you don't like it and you want to see the next result, you've got to go back to the results page. And you've then got to find the next item in the search results and go through the whole process all over again. We've cut that down with Leesy considerably. If I just press a keystroke...
Please wait. Description: 6 years ago, investigator Sid Alley retired for good. He'd been harassed, beaten, shot, even lost a hand to his investigating business, and enough was enough. For the sake of his wife and new daughter, he gave up that life of danger and uncertainty, and he thought nothing would ever lure him back into the game. He thought wrong. Sir Richard Stewart, chairman of the Racing Authority, begged Sid to investigate a series of dodgy races. Sid adamantly refuses, but the following day, Sir Richard is found dead under suspicious circumstances.
That is the summary of the book. Now, I, in fact, have that one in my library, and I'm looking for another Dick Francis book. I haven't left the results page, so I'm going to skip to the next result now.
Link graphic Bloodsport Dick Francis link.
Here's Bloodsport. Let's get the summary for this one.
Please wait. Description: when English agent Gene Hawkins told his boss he'd forego his vacation to search for millionaire Dave Teller's prized missing stallion, he didn't know his retainer would include the attention of his boss's beautiful teenage daughter or Teller's seldom sober wife. He also didn't know that a trail from London to New York to Las Vegas to California would lead eventually to murder.
And so on. So there we go. That is how the Audible facility works. And you could add it to your library. We have the facility to go directly to your Audible library if that's what you want to do. Once you've purchased the book, you can download it to your computer and you can play it using Audible Manager. There is special leasee support for Audible Manager, allowing you to play the book, skip through the book, and so on. Just as there is for talking books in DAISY format, we use the FS Reader product, which is built into JAWS for playing the DAISY books, but there is a special leasee overlay which kind of helps you, makes things a lot easier in terms of playing the books and getting everything that you want from them. In a short while, we're going to talk about some of the many features leasee advanced users may like to take advantage of. But let's bridge the gap to some extent between leasee basic and advanced by discussing a topic which both groups of people may like to work with, and that is Skype. Now, over the years, Skype has evolved into what is the most comprehensive and useful application to allow people to communicate with each other. You can make free voice calls with it. You can participate in text or Facebook chat and make regular phone calls too. Microsoft own the Skype program, so the assumption is that it should be highly usable and accessible. It is true that great strides have been made over the years to make it more so, but there is still a lot of confusion about how to use it, and some parts of Skype still need a good deal of work. Take the example of setting your mood text, a brief phrase to indicate how you're feeling or perhaps to communicate some other useful information. In order to set your mood text, you have to enter your profile, tab around a dialog box that isn't particularly accessible, find the mood text control, which isn't labeled, by the way, press enter, type the text, and press enter again. Now, by the time you've got to that stage, even if you can do it, your mood may well be one of frustration. So with leasee, we've attempted to provide users with a basic interface for Skype. It's far from basic, however, in functionality. You can perform all of the activities with your Skype contacts that you would want to be able to do. And as I've already said, it can be used directly with our leasee Connect application too. When you launch Skype, you're immediately presented with your list of contacts. You cannot move out of this list unless you particularly want to, so it's nice and structured. So if you're in this very structured list environment and you can't get to the Skype edit field, which is traditionally at the top of your contacts list, how are you going to search for anybody? Well, what would you do in any list if you wanted to find information quickly? You would simply type into it, wouldn't you? That's what we can do here in leasee Skype. I'm in my contacts list right now, and I'm hoping that Lulu is online because we're going to want to have a chat with her later on via text chat. I'm going to quickly find out by typing Lulu into my contacts. I'm going to type in the name now and press a space bar.
Lulu, Louise.Keel, online. Everyone deserves the chance to fly.
And I'm immediately there. We don't speak information until you press the space bar, because when you start typing, often using first letter navigation, JAWS does speak too much information. And so it's important that a person is completely focused on typing in the name of the contact without being put off by any extraneous speech that JAWS is giving. In a traditional list view, as soon as you begin typing, you will hear the item that has been reached. We didn't want that with this product. So now I'm on Lulu's contact name. You heard the mood text, you heard the Skype username and various other information. But I can also, now that we're running Lisi, press Control Insert 1 through to 4. This is a concept used in list views with JAWS and is designed to read the individual columns which are displayed on the screen. In this case, the full name of the person, the Skype username, the online or offline status, and the mood text. So let's go through those. Control Insert 1.
Lulu.
2.
Louise.keel.
3.
Online.
And 4.
Everyone deserves the chance to fly.
If you press those keystrokes twice quickly, you'll be able to get the individual text segment into the virtual viewer so that you can then copy it out. Maybe the Skype username is a very important one that you might want to copy into an email, maybe. So as well as reading the individual columns, what can we do now that we're in our contacts list that is above and beyond what is available from an accessibility standpoint with Skype? There is a menu that you can bring up, whether Lisi Basic or Advanced is active. And this will give you common tasks relative to the situation that you're facing at the moment. Now, I've switched to Lisi Advanced, which can be done quickly with a keystroke, incidentally. And I can bring up the Lisi application menu relative to Skype.
Lisi Skype menu dialog. List 1, list view. Go to recent events.
So you can go to recent events. Recent events are, as you would expect, missed calls, anyone who's contacted you, sent you a chat text message, and so on. Now, it's important to point out that there are shortcut keys for all of these things, so you don't have to go through the menu if you don't want to. If Lisi Basic is active, then of course you'll get human prompts for these items. I should say that when you're in the recent events list, you are in, again, a very structured environment, and you can't lose your way and get tangled up in any other controls.
Add this contact to Lisi Connect.
You can add the contact to Lisi Connect. Now, if you activate this item, then Lulu's first name, last name, and also her Skype username will be created in a new Lisi Connect entry. You'll have the form in view, so you can add other details if you wish. And if Lulu already has an entry in Lisi Connect, in my case, it will simply edit the existing entry, just putting her Skype name in there.
Call a phone number.
We can call a phone number.
Change Skype contacts view.
We can change the Skype contacts view. So at the moment, I'm seeing who is online only. But I can change that to see all of my contacts, my Skype contacts only, Facebook contacts, and so on. Because you can link Skype to Facebook.
Change your status.
You can change your status. The status reflects whether you are online, busy, away, and so on.
Create a new group.
Create a new group. That's a list of a number of Skype contacts or telephone numbers that you want to call at any one time.
Set your mood text.
We can set our mood text. I'll be doing that in a moment.
Hear your Skype credit balance.
Hear your Skype credit balance.
Add a Skype contact.
You can add a Skype contact.
Change your profile.
Change your profile. Now, when you go into the Change Your Profile dialog, as standard, there are parts of that which are inaccessible. There are one or two fields that don't speak. Several fields, when you tap through, you've no idea how to interact with them or what the purpose of them is. With Lisi, that dialog box is completely accessible, as is the dialog box in order to change your hotkeys or indeed enable Skype's accessibility mode and so on. But with Lisi Skype, you don't need to do any of that anyway. We do it all for you. And on the subject of profiles, with Lisi, it is possible to view all of the profile details of your Skype contacts. You just simply arrow through the text and read it line by line.
Close Skype.
You can also close Skype. And that's about it. If you had Lisi Basic running, there will be an option to go back to the main menu, of course. Let's just press Escape.
Contacts list box lululuis.kl online.
Now, before we text chat Lulu, which we are going to do, and there are some cool Lisi Skype features relating to that too, perhaps I should set my mood text. The mood text is very important. You can convey useful information in there. Maybe not to call you at the moment, use text chat first. Perhaps to convey, as the name suggests, the mood that you're feeling, so that if anyone did call you, they'd know what kind of reception they were going to get and so on. So I'm going to set my mood text. I have a keystroke for that.
Profile edit, developing the Lisi product.
And you'll hear that Jaws is announcing my mood text as it is at the moment. I'm going to change that. I'm going to type demonstrating Lisi Skype, making Skype completely accessible. And all I need now do is press enter.
Skype trademark Ryan Arjun.
And I'm back in my contacts. Now, hopefully, if I press that keystroke again, I should be able to see the mood text.
Profile edit, demonstrating Lisi Skype, making Skype completely accessible.
And there it is. I can just press escape.
Skype trademark Ryan Arjun.
Which takes me back to my regular contacts again. Now, Lulu should still be online, so I'm going to start a text chat with her. And there is a direct keystroke in order to do this. You don't need to activate the context menu or anything like that to start a text chat conversation with anybody.
Chatting with Lulu. Lulu, type a message here, edit.
And I'm immediately placed in the chat window, so I can begin typing. Hi, Lulu. I am just demonstrating accessible Skype with Lisi for Tech Talk. And I'll press enter.
From Ryan Arjun. Hi, Lulu. I am just demonstrating accessible Skype with Lisi for Tech Talk. Sent on 11 August 2014, 9:47:47. Lulu is typing.
Now, you'll notice that Jaws announced a lot of information there. It read back the message. It also said my name.
From Lulu. Oh, cool. I can't wait to have it on my computer. Sent on 11 August 2014, 9:48:07.
And the date and time the message was sent. And you just heard one from Lulu there as well. We can control a lot of this speech output. We can turn off the announcement of the date and the time.
You will not hear message date and timestamps.
So now if I type another message, I am sure you are going to absolutely love it. And if I press enter, you'll hear the difference.
From Brian Arjun, I am sure you are going to absolutely love it.
We're going to refine that even further. We're going to stop the announcement of the name. When you're chatting with someone one-to-one, you're not going to want to hear the name of the person being spoken. If you're participating in a conversation with more than one person, or indeed within multiple conversations, yes, of course, there is value in hearing it. But for now, we don't want to. So we're going to filter it out now.
You will not hear the name in the chat window.
And I'm going to say, in a short while, we are going to talk about all the exciting features in Lisi Advanced. And now if I press enter.
In a short while, we are going to talk about all the exciting features in Lisi Advanced.
There. We don't hear anything about names. Lulu is going to send one more message. And this time, what I'm going to do
desktop
is focus on the Windows desktop. Because when a message comes in, we should be alerted to it. And the good thing is that we can immediately switch to the conversation which has focus. So now I'm going to do that. I'm going to switch to the most recent conversation.
Switching to conversation with Lulu. Lulu, type a message here, edit.
And you'll hear that it said switching to conversation with Lulu. And we're now immediately in the chat window again. Now, if I missed the message, of course, there is a keystroke in order to repeat it.
Lisi Advanced Rocks.
And it just says Lisi Advanced Rocks because I've got all the rest of the information filtered out. Oh, there's one more thing that I really should do before we leave the conversation with Lulu. We should send her an emoticon, shouldn't we? Now, an emoticon is what you might call a graphical representation of how we're feeling. And so we can bring up a list of emoticons. I can do that now.
List box smile, 1 of 72.
You'll hear that there are 72 emoticons which Skype has built into it that you can choose from. Now, we've turned this into a vertical list, so you can simply up and down arrow through the list if you don't know what you're looking for.
Sad, laugh, cool, surprised, wink, crying, sweating, speechless, kiss, cheeky. blushing, wondering, sleepy, dull, in love, evil grin.
Okay, now we heard the word kiss there, didn't we? I've gone further down the list than kiss, but we did hear it on the way down. Now, if you know immediately what you're looking for, there's no problem. You can just type it directly into this list, hit the space bar,
kiss,
and we're right there. I can now press enter.
Type a message here, edit, Lisa Advanced Rocks.
And now, if I press enter again to send the message,
kiss,
it says kiss right away.
Blue is typing. Oh, thank you.
There's no doubt that as blind people, those of us who have used a computer with a screen reader for some time have become very reliant on them to read documents, email, web pages, and many more things besides. But it's also very obvious that it does take blind people longer to work through common tasks than someone who uses a monitor and a mouse. Consider also the number of extra keystrokes needing to be pressed to carry out those tasks could lead to repetitive strain injury or RSI, and the complexity of those keystrokes can leave the most agile and proficient person struggling. Remembering the logic of the construction of those keystrokes is just something else that you have to add to the mix. Often they're not very well thought out. The thinking behind the tools which comprise Lisi Advanced isn't to make things more complicated. As a power or long-standing computer user, you want to do more things with it, but you don't necessarily want the job to be made any harder than it has to be. We hope that in this part of the presentation, we're going to show you some really innovative ways of how easy computing can be if you had Lisi. We've already talked about and demonstrated how easily text can be selected by marking the start and end points of the potential selection. Let's extend that a little. Many people know what the Windows clipboard is. Cutting or copying items to the clipboard is one of the first things you need to learn about when using Windows. The problem is that the clipboard isn't flexible enough. JAWS usefully has the ability to copy multiple segments of text to the clipboard, but the items have to be pasted elsewhere in the order in which you copied them. Lisi clips change all of that. They allow you to copy text from different programs if necessary and paste them elsewhere in any order that you like. I'm going to demonstrate these now. Last night, Lulu was in nostalgic mood, and she was finding lots of clips of old TV programs from the 70s and 80s on YouTube and tweeting them out and asking if people had memories of them. Now, I thought it would be a really good idea if I sent an email to a friend of mine who isn't on Twitter at the moment and asking him if he remembers those programs, because I'm sure he will. If I wanted to do this using standard Windows techniques, I would have to find the link, the URL, pointing to the YouTube clip. That would be in my Twitter client. I'd have to select it and copy it to the clipboard, alt-tab over to my email I was composing, type some text about the link, and then paste it in there. I would then have to repeat the process as many times as necessary in order to get everything I wanted into the email. Now, with Lisi clips, it's such a breeze. Let me show you how it could work. So I'm in my favorite Twitter client at the moment, and I'm focused on the first message from Lulu that she sent out last night.
Lulu memories, who remembers this? http://yahoo.com.
So she says, who remembers this? And then there's this big long URL. Now, I'm not sure what the name of the TV program is, because she didn't mention that in the tweet, so I just need to play it so that I can identify it.
Playing.
Dr. David Banner, physician.
All right, so I know from listening to that, it's the Incredible Hulk. So that's the first one that I want to copy. I'm going to select the URL.
Who remembers this question? http://.
Okay, that's where it starts. So I'm going to select from that point to the end of the text.
Selected. http.
Now I'm going to copy this to Lisi Clip 1. There are 12 Lisi clips, and because of the limited number, they are designed for temporary storage. I use that word loosely because, in fact, if you were to restart the computer, your Lisi clips would still be there waiting for you and you could use them again, and they are only overwritten if you choose to do so. We have a method called Lisi Texts, which allows you to store text permanently, and I'll demonstrate that in a moment. But now we have the text selected, I'm going to copy this to Leesy Clip 1.
Enter text for Leesy Clip dialog. Please type the text to be used as a Leesy Clip, then press Enter, edit.
Okay, so what's happened is an edit box has been brought into view, and if we read the contents of the edit box, it actually contains the URL. So why have we done that? Why have we not just copied the selected text? Well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, I can amend it if I want to. And I do want to in this case because I want to insert the name of the program at the start so that when I paste it, I won't have to do any further typing. So I'm going to press Home,
H,
which takes me to the start of the URL. And I'm going to type here the Incredible Hulk and then press Enter.
Leesy Clip 1 copied.
Okay, so it's now copied. The other reason that we bring an edit box into view is that if there was no text selected, you could put whatever you wanted into that edit box and press Enter to save. So if you were working on a document and there were different phrases that you wanted to use while you were preparing it, you could very easily create a series of Leesy clips with those phrases contained within them. And then whenever you wanted to paste any of those phrases into the document, you could simply do so. We have keystrokes to create the Leesy clips, read them. If you want to verify what's in the Leesy clips before inserting them anywhere, of course, pasting them and deleting them too. So we've got our first Leesy clip created. Let's escape out of here, and we'll go to the next one.
Ooh, how about this one? Did you watch this? HTTP/...
Okay, let's verify what that is. Let's play it.
This is my boss, Jonathan Hart, a self-made millionaire.
Easily identifiable, isn't it? Heart to Heart is the name of that program. So I'm going to, again, select the text.
Selected. HTTP://
And I'm going to copy that to Leesy Clip 2.
Please type the text to be used as a Leesy Clip, then press Enter, edit.
I'm now going to press Home
H
to get to the beginning, and I'm going to type Heart to Heart in there and press Enter.
Leesy Clip 2 copied.
All right, we'll do one more.
Ooh, last one for now and my dad's fave show, Cos of the Glamorous Ladies, https://.
Okay, now I know this one is Charlie's Angels. So I'm going to just select the text here.
Selected, https.
And I'll copy that to Leesy Clip 3.
Please type the text to be used as a Leesy Clip, then press Enter, edit.
Okay, let's go to the beginning of the text and we'll type Charlie's Angels and press Enter.
Leesy Clip 3 copied.
Right.
Message, edit.
Here I am in Microsoft Outlook now, focused in the body of an email message. I'm going to begin typing the message to my friend now. So, dear John, I know you are a big fan of old TV shows. Do you remember these? Now, in just a second, we will paste the relevant links into the email. In case I've forgotten which Leesy clip or which keystroke is associated with which link, I can verify those. Let's hear number one.
Leesy Clip 1, The Incredible Hulk, HTTP///
Okay, and number two.
Leesy Clip 2, Heart to Heart, HTTP.
And number three.
Leesy Clip 3, Charlie's Angels, HTTP.
Now, I know he was a particular fan in his youth of Charlie's Angels. So we're going to put that link first because I think that's the one he'd be most interested in. So we're going to paste that, starting with number three.
Leesy Clip 3 pasted.
All right, now we'll press Enter. And then we'll go for number one, The Incredible Hulk.
Leesy Clip 1 pasted.
And finally, number two, Heart to Heart.
Leesy Clip 2 pasted.
Right, now let's read our email and see what we've got.
Top of file, dear John. Blank. I know you are a big fan of old TV shows. Do you remember these? Blank, Charlie's Angels, link, https://www.
All right, if we arrow down.
The Incredible Hulk, link, https://yahoo.com.
And again.
Heart to Heart, link, https://yahoo.com/KASD.
So we've got them in exactly the order that we wanted. Think of how powerful that could be in your situation. If you want to copy text and paste it in any order that you like, you can do that. There is no limit as to the number of characters you can insert. As I indicated earlier, we also have a facility called Leesy Texts. These are designed to store either phrases that you would frequently use or long passages of text, which you might want to reproduce on a very regular basis. So why would you use one of these as opposed to a Leesy clip? Well, as I've already said, these are for permanent use rather than temporary. But also, you can store as many leafy texts as you like, hundreds if necessary. You can then bring them all up into a vertical list, and you can easily select the one you want, press enter, and it's pasted into your document, email, or wherever you happen to be. Now, to illustrate this, let's assume for the moment that I'm really busy and I can't give people the attention that they need when they email me. For the less urgent emails, I want to reproduce a block of text and send it back to them so that at least the person knows they have a response, I've received the email, and I'll be dealing with it in due course. I've prepared some text here. Let's have a listen to it.
Thank you for your message, which I was pleased to receive. Blank. Unfortunately, I am quite busy at the moment and am unable to give your message the attention it needs. Please be assured, however, that I will get back to you with a full response at the earliest opportunity.
I wouldn't want to type all of that because I do get a lot of email and I want to send this to quite a number of people. So I'm going to create a leafy text with all of that stored in there. I'm going to select all the text first by pressing Control A.
Selected. Thank you for your...
I have typed this simply into a notepad document, or you could type it in any text area that you wish. Now I'm going to copy it to the Windows clipboard.
Copied selection to clipboard.
And I'm now going to press a keystroke in order to store the leafy text.
Store leafy text dialog. Please enter the name you would like to reproduce the text in a future edit.
I'm simply going to type less urgent email text and press enter.
Leafy text less urgent email text saved. Message edit.
Here I am back in the body of an email message in Microsoft Outlook. Let's assume for the moment that I'm replying to somebody. The person who I'm going to write to has the name Gary. So I'm going to type Dear Gary and press enter twice to create a new paragraph. And I'm now going to bring up my list of leafy texts.
List of leafy texts dialog. List 1, list view, less urgent email text, 1 of 1.
And here I have just one leafy text, and it has the title that we assigned to it. I'm going to press enter.
Leafy text has been reproduced. Edit.
Let's not just take its word for it. Let's have a quick look.
Top of file, Dear Gary.
And I'll press down arrow.
Blank. Thank you for your message, which I was pleased to receive.
And you've got all of that text there reproduced. I think we'd better add some more text at the end of this email before we send it, so we'll go to the bottom. We'll create a new paragraph, and then we'll put, thanks very much for writing. Best wishes, Brian. The message is now ready to send. You could use that facility in any way that you like. If you wanted to prepare a signature for a letter, for example, or, as I say, some other long block of text that you want to reproduce on a regular basis, then leafy texts are your friends. If you write long reports, letters, books, or plays even, you'll know how important it is to need to refer back to parts of the text that you've written, or maybe store your position in the document if you need to break from the computer for a while. Traditional bookmarks are quite helpful because they will store your place. But by definition, when you write a document, you are word processing. You are adding or deleting text in the document. This is where, in some instances, bookmarks fail, because if the text has moved, it's very likely that the bookmark will not necessarily remember your place. This is where leafy points are very useful. They can be set in Microsoft Word documents, or indeed on web pages too. Let's return to the script of our podcast.
Do-over.doc compatibility mode Word.
I'm going to move through this document quite some distance. I'm going to page down a few times.
Page 6. Bilby, no, we're sending the left back to them.
So that is the point in the document that I would like to mark on page 6. I'm going to do that now by setting a leafy point.
Set leafy point 1.
Let's move away a little bit and check it works. So I'm down arrowing a few times. Let's just check that works now.
Bilby, no, we're sending the left back to them.
And it does. As soon as I press the keystroke, I'm back at the point that I marked. Just to prove that this really does work, I'm just going to press the up arrow here.
Blank, page 5.
Okay, I'm on a line now on page 5. And I'm going to simply type, this is a test of leafy points in Microsoft Word. And then I can press enter a couple of times. If I just let you hear that.
Black, this is a test of Lisi points in Microsoft Word.
That's fine. I'm going to go to the end of the document now.
Bottom of file, end of episode, page 34.
And we're on page 34. Now I'm going to press the keystroke in order to locate the text where the Lisi point was stored.
Bilby, no, we're sending the lip back to them.
And we're immediately back there. Even though we'd inserted that text, it doesn't matter. We're right back where we needed to be. And I think in a word processing situation, that makes Lisi points a very powerful tool indeed. If you apply that concept to the internet, just think how it could be useful there too. You could potentially mark different points of web pages just by focusing upon the text you want, setting a Lisi point by pressing a keystroke, and then you can get back there at any time. Better still, you can ask JAWS to read the current character when it reaches the Lisi point, the word, the line, the sentence, the paragraph, or indeed to go into say all mode, so it starts reading from the cursor position once the Lisi point has been located. Now you probably think, how much better can it get? Well, quite a lot. Working with web pages can cause people a lot of difficulty and frustration. While the internet has given blind people so much, that hope and enthusiasm is often stifled by websites being not necessarily inaccessible, but quite slow to use. When sighted people visit web pages, their attention is visually drawn to what they're looking for, the most important part of the page. If you carry out a search on the Amazon.co.uk or Amazon.com website, you type in what you want, you press enter or you click submit. And if you're a sighted user, you can immediately see where the results start and where the important content is located. If you use a screen reader, you've got to think the results might start with the word results. So I could do a JAWS find for that and look for that specific instance on the page. But if it doesn't, or that may not even be where the results start, there might be some intervening text between, you need to do something else. So we have Lisi alerts, which do exactly what they say. They will alert you to specific text of your choosing that is present on a web page. I'm going to go to the Google website.
Search edit. Press enter for forms mode.
And here I am. I'm going to press enter.
Forms mode on.
And I'm going to type in dog food. That's what I want to search for. I'm going to press enter again.
Forms mode off. Dog food Google search.
Now, where am I here?
Why these ads? Heading level 2 link. List of 3 items.
Okay, I'm going to move to the next heading.
Arden Grange 2X cheap dog fans ask search results heading level 2.
Okay, so I had to do that quite a few times in order to get to where I needed to be. So I'm now on search results. If I arrow down.
List of 11 items. 1. Heading level 3 link dog food and treats pets at home.
Brilliant. So that's where the results start. I need to be in that place where it says search results. So let's just arrow up.
List of heading level 2 search results.
I'm going to set a Lisi alert so that when we're on Google and when search results are available, it's going to put us immediately in that place. So I'll set the Lisi alert.
Set Lisi alert dialog. Please review the text for the Lisi alert. Edit.
So now what do we got in here?
Search results.
It's grabbed the text that was on the page at the time. You can change this if you want to. Now, in the case of Amazon, for example, it says 1 to 50,000 results found or something like that. Now, that text wouldn't be appropriate because it will change every time you do a search. So you can simply alter the text if that's what you want to do. But in actual fact, in the case of Google, that's fine. So I'm going to press enter on that bit.
Lisi alert save.
Now we'll go back to the homepage, which is Google.
Google.
And I'm going to search for something else this time.
Search edit.
All right, we've had dog food. We'll have cat food.
Forms mode on.
And I'll type cat food and press enter, and we'll see what happens.
Forms mode off. Cat food Google search. Heading level 2 search results.
Immediately, we are on the search results. I can assure you I did no editing or anything like that. But also notice that we haven't heard the number of headings, landmarks, regions, anything like that that's on the page. We're not interested in that. All we're interested in is the place we've set the Lisi alert to. So now I've found the results. I can just down arrow.
List of 11 items. 1. Heading level 3 link cat food and treats pets at home.
Just to re-emphasize what I was saying earlier, there is nothing complicated about setting a Leesy alert or a Leesy point. There's no special terminology to understand. There is only one dialogue box to contend with, and that is only there for your convenience, just in case you want to edit the text. But apart from that, you don't need to really understand anything. You just set it and forget it if you want to. You can, of course, change it. You can also delete it. That's how computing should be. It should be easy, but powerful at the same time. We're going to end by showing you what we think is an incredible feature for file management. Most people know about Windows Explorer. From there, you can cut or copy files to the Windows clipboard for reproducing elsewhere, together with deleting them, of course. If you want to select files in a continuous range, that really isn't too difficult. You can hold down the Shift key, and you can press the down arrow key. But if you want to select them non-consecutively, such as files 1, 3, and 5, this requires more complex key sequences which are prone to error if you inadvertently release one of the keys. We'd like to show you Leesy tags. When using Windows Explorer, you can tag any file or files in a folder. You can be reminded of the files that you've tagged, and you can perform common actions on them, such as cutting, copying, or deleting them. I'm going to demonstrate this by selecting a range of music files from a folder, and I'm going to copy them to the SD card I have in my card reader in readiness for listening to them on my Victor Reader stream. Now, although I'm using audio files here, it really doesn't matter. Any file will do, such as a document or picture. I'm in Windows Explorer, and I'm focused on the folder containing Queen's Greatest Hits Volume 1. I'm going to use the down arrow key in order to move through the files in this folder.
01 Bohemian Rhapsody.mp3.
Now, that's quite a long song. I don't want to tag that.
02 Another One Bites the Dust.mp3.
That's a good one. Let's tag it.
Tagged.
Down arrow.
03 Killer Queen.mp3. 04 Fat Bottom Girls.mp3.
And we'll tag that one as well.
Tagged.
Let's do one more.
09 Crazy Little Thing Called Love.mp3. Tagged.
Now there are two ways of being able to verify which files are tagged. The first is by manually moving through the files in the Windows Explorer list. If I press home to go to the top,
01 Bohemian Rhapsody.mp3,
and then down arrow,
02 Another One Bites the Dust.mp3,
you hear the little tag sound. Down arrow again,
03 Killer Queen.mp3, 04 Fat Bottom Girls.mp3.
The good thing is you can skim through the list very quickly.
09 Crazy Little Thing Called Love.mp3,
and you can always stop when you hear the Leesy tag sound. The other way of confirming which files are tagged is by pressing a shortcut key.
02 Another One Bites the Dust.mp3. 04 Fat Bottom Girls.mp3. 09 Crazy Little Thing Called Love.mp3.
Which will read each file in turn with a pause in between so there is no confusion. You can also, if you make a mistake, delete all of your Leesy tags or delete one at a time. Now it gets even better because you can tag files in multiple folders and you can copy all of those files to the Windows clipboard at the same time. If I move back to my Queen folder,
see Music Queen, Items View Multi-Select List Box,
and now I select the first album I have by them,
A Day at the Races,
which is A Day at the Races. I'll press enter on it.
See Music Queen, A Day at the Races.
Now the first file in this folder,
01 Tie Your Mother Down.mp3,
is that one. I'm going to tag that as well.
Tagged.
Now what have we got?
02 Another One Bites the Dust.mp3. 04 Fat Bottom Girls.mp3. 09 Crazy Little Thing Called Love.mp3. 01 Tie Your Mother Down.mp3.
Okay, three files from one folder, one from another. I'm going to copy those now to the Windows clipboard.
Complete.
I'll now move to my SD card reader and find my music folder for the Victor Reader stream.
Shell folder view, items view, multi-select list box, not selected, $VR audible. $VR music.
Here it is, I'll press enter.
$VR music, items view, list box, read only.
Now if I paste
it from clipboard, items view, multi-select list box.
Let's see what we've got.
01 tie your mother down.mp3. 02 another one bites the dust.mp3. 04 fat bottom girls.mp3. 09 crazy little thing called love.mp3.
See how easy that was? And if that wasn't enough, we can go one step further. Have you ever found creating playlists in your favorite media player difficult to do? Well, not anymore. You can assign leasy tags to any of your music files, as you've just seen, and create a playlist based on the tracks you've tagged. While making playlists, you can add files from multiple folders in one single process. The playlist can then be used with any player, including those supported by leasy, which are Winamp and FUBAR 2000. Our own playlist editor will allow easy management of all the playlists you've created. And don't think you're going to need to spend a lot of time deleting old tags. Leasy Tags is an intelligent application. It looks after itself. Once tags have been used, they're automatically cleaned up, saving you time. Well, we're almost at the end of our presentation now. We've seen Leasy at work in a range of situations, and we hope that you're as excited about her future as we are. Now, Lulu hasn't spoken using her own voice for quite some time, so I think it's very fair that we bring her back for the end of the presentation before questions. What in particular excites you about Leasy?
It's always exciting right at the beginning when you have the ideas and then you begin the work, you do the research, you think it all out, and then you start the programming and coding, and all of a sudden these things that have just been in your head actually become real, become true. That's always a great thing. Many of the things that we roughed out ideas for within the first few days since the conception of the program are real features. We're practically feature complete on many of them. But what is just so great is that we are so right at the beginning of this thing, and it's getting bigger and better every day. We're coming up with more and more great ideas, more and more things we can put into it. Of course, some people are asking us, can we have this? Can we do this with Leasy? And of course, when we get suggestions like that, we're thinking, can we? Oh yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, we could do that. So yeah, it's really great to see this whole thing evolving and growing and coming to life. And of course, this is Build One. We have so much in this thing already, and if this is only Build 1, what are we going to do in Build 2, in Build 3, in Build 4?
So how big do you think she's going to get?
Leasy could be enormous. It's a groundbreaking product, and with some help and cooperation from people, there is just no knowing what she could do, the services and utilities that she could provide. The potential for her is enormous. That's what really, really excites me about her.
Now, we're still months away from the launch of version one. We hope that that will be, of course, in November. But we're already thinking, aren't we, about the future of some of the things that she could do.
Definitely. There are three big things I would say definitely going to happen, and sometime soon. The first of them is Spotify. We are definitely going to be able to have, for everybody, not just for the premium user, accessible, easy to use Spotify within Leasy. And I don't think that will be very long. Whether we'll have it before launch, I don't know. It really is a time factor because, you know, we have only so many days and we have only so much time, and we do have to eat and sleep and do other things in between. But accessible Spotify is a definite. The other things that we're looking at, iTunes. iTunes is getting more and more difficult to use at the moment because of the introduction of iTunes 12. We definitely want to get iTunes more easy to use. And also we want to get it where you're not looking at every new version and thinking, oh, what changes are they going to do now? We want to get it where it is, if you've got Leasy, you know that iTunes is always going to be usable for you. So that is something that we want to get straight. Now, the third thing is slightly less of a definite maybe, but we think we can do this, Kindle. Kindle for the PC, we have had a look at this and it is doable. Kindle for the PC, we would like to get, and also the search of Amazon Kindle in Leasy Search, that is a thing that we really want to get done, and sooner rather than later. It would be great if you could read books from Kindle on your computer as well as from your iPhone.
In terms of Leesy Search that we heard about earlier on, it's fair to say that we're talking to other libraries, aren't we, about incorporating their catalogues into it?
Absolutely. It's been wonderful because so many people have expressed interest in Leesy and now want to help us and want to work with us. So yes, we're talking to the people at MLS. We're also talking to people in Canada, in Australia. We've also had some questions about Leesy in other languages, so there's no knowing where this all could take us.
We've been asked from time to time about JAWS users who don't need Leesy Basic, who don't need the menu structure and the human-based support that Leesy provides. They're not going to be disadvantaged, are they? They won't have to have it.
Absolutely not. We didn't think of splitting it until this all got so big and we were able to put so many cool services, tools and utilities in. But recently we have had a heart change about this, and it is true. Now you can buy two kinds of Leesy. If you want to buy Leesy Total Package, it will cost around the £150 mark. And with that, you will get Leesy with the voice prompts, with the structured menus, everything you need to learn how to use a computer for the first time. You will also get Leesy Advanced, so you can learn, enable, advance and grow. If you would just like to buy Leesy Advanced, then that will cost around £100. You will not have any of the human voice prompts in there. What you will have is all the incredible tools, utilities and services that we're incorporating into Leesy. You will still have the Leesy help system, but there won't be any human speech. It will all be JAWS operated text.
You do get some training material with it,
yes,
won't you?
You'll get comprehensive documentation. You will get a Daisy guide, which you can play obviously from a talking book player or any Daisy device. So you will get some training of how to use Leesy.
And just like with the Leesy Help, which you can always use, whether you're using Leesy Basic or Advanced, with the Daisy Guide, if you're playing it on your computer through Leesy, then you can pause the training at
yes.
any time and carry out the task. It's not going to interfere with anything that Leesy is doing. And then when you're ready to resume the training again, you can just start playing it and it'll be right there for you.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Exciting times ahead.
It's very exciting. It is great to be right there at the beginning of something. But, it's a very, very exciting and cool product. And we really hope that you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you very much for listening to our presentation. We appreciate it's been very long, but we hope that it's been fairly fast moving and also informative and interesting for you. We'd like to invite questions now, so if there are any questions, and we hope that there are, we'll stay around for as long as necessary in order for us to receive questions. Thank you very much.
And thank you. What a wonderful program and a wonderful presentation. I can honestly tell you that I listen to every word. And that's hard for me sometimes. I wouldn't leave here. I wanted to hear it. My first question, and then we'll introduce others. First of all, Lulu, we love you. We all love you here. You're fantastic. And Brian knows he is. You guys are great. I guess I'll say it this way. Learning curve. Let's say that I'm using Leesy, but then I want to go back to JAWS and use Word for a while. I want to learn as I go, but I don't want to totally be immersed in the pool, you know, and just have to use Leesy. Can we switch back and forth? I guess that's my question.
Oh, yes, indeed. Definitely, you can do that. So you can have all the menus. If you're a complete computer beginner, you can have all the menus that are there. There is a way very quickly of turning those menus off. And, of course, Leesy Advanced users will want to do that. So there's a very, very quick, easy keystroke you can just do with the left hand. And you can toggle between the two modes if that's what you want to do. So absolutely, you can do that.
It's no good if we keep you in a safe little box. You won't learn anything that way. And, you know, there are times, you know, that you might want to get away from the Leesy Everly. I don't know why exactly, but you might want to.
Yes.
We don't want to stop you from doing anything you want to do with your computer, obviously. We want to make it better. And if that means that, you know, you want to dismiss the whole thing and do it your own way, that's fine.
I don't know why I would want to get away from Lisi. It's just wonderful. Okay, Ron, do we have some questions, please?
Yes, I see Jane has a question.
Okay, Jane, are you there?
Okay, looks like she's did it about 20 minutes ago, so maybe she's gone. Let's try Martin Nelson. He asked recently.
Yes, good evening. I would like to ask, as you may know, or probably know, Microsoft has withdrawn its Skype kit from GW Connect and also from Saratech's Socializer for the use of Skype. Will Lisi be affected by this?
No, absolutely not. Even before this happened, we wanted Lisi Skype to be built on the Microsoft, the Skype, standard Skype that everybody else is using. As I said at the beginning of the presentation, you might be using Lisi on a computer that you're sharing with your family. You might be have only used the standard Skype before, and you just want that made easy. You don't want to have to install and learn something completely different, a bespoke application. If you use something that's using an API, there is always the possibility that you're going to lose it. I'm afraid that, you know, in the world we live in, changes of the essence. It does happen. But it's a pretty safe bet with Microsoft owning Skype and with so many millions of Skype users that Skype is going to be around a very long time. So we based Lisi Skype on the standard Skype interface that everybody who installs Skype has.
Well, congratulations. That's very wise. We thank you. Okay, Ron, next question, please.
Okay, Marcia is next.
Yes. What I was wondering, and I may have gotten in on a lot of the tail end of this, what I wanted to know was, what was the impetus for Lisi in the first place? How did you people come up with the idea? And I liked what I saw of this, and I could use Lisi for a lot of templates and stuff like that than I do, you know, for my clients. You know, I do conference transcription and medical editing and that kind of thing.
It was literally an idea we had out of the blue when Brian was saying, I want a new project, I want to get my teeth into something else. And I thought to myself, what we need is something we don't have, something that lots of people will want and be able to use, whether they're a computer newbie or a power user. It was literally a small spark of an idea that has grown into a forest fire. Is that lucky? You only get that kind of luck once in your life, I think.
It was really the glass of wine they both had, and I think Lulu, you'll hear the beginning, came up with Lisi, L-E-A-S-Y. They both said yes, but what a great concept. Ron, another question, please.
Okay, Vicky asks, is there any problems for United States users?
We're about to do extensive testing. I think it's going to be hopefully the week after next. We're going to begin extensive beta testing. At the moment, as we have built everything, and Brian can add anything he needs to add, but at the moment, we have made sure from the get-go that as far as we can, no one will have any problem using Lisi. There really wouldn't be any point in developing it if it was going to be a product that was only used in one part of the world. You know, this is a big product and it's taken a lot of hard work. It's no point developing it if people who want it can't use it.
That's absolutely right. From a technical standpoint, I can say Lisi knows where you live. She knows which country you're in, and that's important. I mentioned very briefly the Lisi diary in the presentation. Now, our date format here in the UK is different, the way that we write dates to you guys in the States. And so it's very important that we have it as localized as we can. So absolutely, we want it to be used by anybody in any English-speaking country.
So that means basically that if Lisi sees you live in the States, she will, when you do the Lisi diary, you'll be able to write your dates exactly the same way you always have. You don't have to be anglicized just because Lisi's been developed in the UK.
I saw the date, heard you do that. You know, oh boy, I hope I can remember. But thank you for thinking of us humble Americans here. All right, Ron?
Okay, Sherry Wells.
Sherry, are you there?
Yeah, hi, this is Sherry. First of all, thanks for the presentation. It was extremely comprehensive. and informative. I can't even imagine how much coding and testing went into this huge product. My question is about the internet. You were able to set a Lisi, I don't remember if it wasn't a Lisi point, it was called something else, for search results in Google. Is this web page specific? So in other words, that's tied to the Google URL. If I were to go to Amazon and I wanted to set a point on just results, or I would go to a book site and it said books found, I could set those up and they'd be tied to the URL of that website versus having search results be the point on all three websites. Hopefully that's clear.
Okay, go.
Absolutely. It wouldn't be very much point if it wasn't really. Any alert you set is tied to that specific website that you set it on. And on other websites, you can set other alerts that you need and will be able to use on them.
Oh, that's so good. I won't tell my Amazon stories, but this will make it a lot easier. Okay, next question, Ron, and my Audible stories. Okay, Ron?
Okay, let's see if Jane is ready this yet.
Okay, I think not. Any other questions, please?
Okay, that I think is, let's see, looks like another people have their hands up, so let's wait a few seconds, see if anybody says Q.
Okay, while he's waiting, let me again say quickly that next week, Judy Dixon, the Consumer Liaison Officer for NLS, will be here. But she'll be discussing taking pictures as a blind person with her iPhone. And that'll be interesting. Absolutely. Okay, Ron, do we see any?
This is Sherry. Follow-up question, since nobody else had one. On the alerts, is there such a thing as a global alert that you could set that would go across all the websites that you have? I don't know. I can't think of right off the top of my head for a use for that, but there probably is one. Maybe the home or the logon or something like that. If you wanted to set an alert for logon, that would apply to multiple websites. Could you do that, or would you have to set separate alerts?
Well, you would at the moment. You'd have to set up separate alerts. There's technically no reason why it couldn't be global, but the thing I'd be concerned about would be that, you know, as you pointed out, the differences earlier on in terms of search results, for instance, and I did in the presentation as well. With Google, the term is different to how it might appear on Amazon. So if there was generic text, then a global alert might work, but it's probably safer to do it on a website by website basis.
Yes, like for example with logon details, they're never quite the same on websites. Sometimes they want a username, sometimes they want an email, sometimes they want something else. You know, it's never quite the same.
Yes, even with the a link for logging on, sometimes it's called logon, sometimes it's called sign in. You know, you just don't know what it's going to be. So probably it's safer on a site by site basis.
Okay, Ron, next question. A couple more, and then I think we'll wrap up here.
Okay, Alan Conway.
Alan, we're not hearing you. Try it again, please. Nice to see you here. Okay, if you get a chance, Alan, write your question up there. Hit F8, write it, and enter, and we'll read it if time permits. Next question, Ron, please.
Yeah, it looked like Alan was really quiet, if at all. Martin Nelson has a follow-up question, I guess.
Yes, I'm wondering about those people who do not use JAWS, like those Window Eyes user, System Access, and BDA. Are they excluded from the use of Lisi?
At the moment, Lisi is a JAWS-based product. Aztec does a lot of work with JAWS. Brian is very expert JAWS scripter. He knows a lot of things about JAWS, so that is the area that obviously we've been able to work in the easiest. Having said that, you should never say never. That's really all we can say at the moment, but we're not ruling it out. That's really all I can say.
If anyone can do it, Martin, please know that Brian and Lulu can. They'll make it happen. Okay. Ron, I think one more question here, please.
Okay, the last question, Vicky asks, do you see us as being able to download updates, and how often do you think they'll come out, and how much they might cost?
Well, we need to get version one out of the door, first of all. Usually, with the way that Aztec products work is that each major version of a product comes out every year, and there's usually a chargeable update cost for that. Bearing in mind that the cost of the total package, Leesy total package, where you get everything, is £150, which is just over $200 maybe. But if that's the full product, then the upgrade costs are not going to be too great. In between the upgrades, which happen every year, there are updates. So if, for example, throughout the year we think of a new feature or we need to make an improvement, there will be updates available which happen over the internet if that's how you'd like to get them. We suggest that if you do have access to the internet, it's helpful, and that particularly applies to the radio player that unfortunately we haven't had time to talk about this evening. But updates to radio stations will happen just seamlessly over the internet. So in summary, quite a cheap upgrade process, less expensive upgrade process, we hope, and usually with Aztec products it happens once a year.
Yes, and with updates happening seamlessly, we do mean seamlessly. You won't be bothered by boxes popping up saying, hey, do you want to download this, and then you have to restart and things. It doesn't happen like that. It's a beautifully smooth process.
Oh, that's wonderful. My final question was, did it leave my head here? I'm so embarrassed. Well, okay, so if I get the $150 or the $200 one or whatever, thinking American, I would get it all and I wouldn't lose the verbosity. That's one part. And the second is your manual. Will it be you and Lulu training us with an audio? I need an audio manual, okay? You make it sound so easy, but I do need to know the keystrokes, etc. Do we get a good training manual, please? That's the second part.
There we go.
The first bit about losing the verbosity, you wouldn't get... I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
I think he means the human prompts.
Yes. Yeah. You wouldn't get the human prompts with Leesy Advanced. If you didn't buy Total Package, you wouldn't get the human prompts. But you would get, if you wanted to see menu structure, you could see them there. You'd hear them in JAWS text-to-speech. And the help is also in JAWS text-to-speech. Training, the way we're thinking about doing this at the moment, and this is not set in stone, but we think this is how we'll do it, the full DAISY guide, because this is going to take a lot of work, that will come with Leesy Total Package, because a beginner is going to need sort of that extra help, particularly if they're starting with a new computer and really don't know what to do. A DAISY guide might be a good thing to have. Very comprehensive documentary comes with Leesy Advanced, but we're thinking more that maybe Leesy Advanced users won't want the audio menu. If we sort of get the feeling that lots of you do want an audio menu with Leesy Advanced, then we'll have to think again.
All right. So just let me summarize that. So when you buy Leesy Total Package, you will get, obviously, all the verbosity, as I think you referred to it, Bob. You'll get all the human prompts and so on. And you will get the Audio DAISY Getting Started tutorial, which really will take you through as many of the Leesy functions as we possibly can.
And it will be us.
It's also worth saying that there will be regular podcasts as well on the internet, which might highlight a particular feature, such as Leesy Tags or the radio player, that sort of thing, so that people can download those to get a feel for what it might sound like. Now, if you buy Leesy Advanced, as Lulu said, you won't get the DAISY guide, and you won't get any human support there. It will purely be, there will be thorough documentation. It'll probably be in Microsoft Word or HTML format, but obviously that would be read by JAWS.
Okay, when I get to that point, I want the one with the human voice, but I don't want to lose the advanced functions. Is that, you sell that kind of thing? Or if I get the human voice, I'm going to lose the advanced functions?
Absolutely not. Leesy Total Package means total package. You get absolutely everything if you buy the Leesy total package, which is £150 or just over $200. You'll get everything you could possibly need there.
You clarified it. I thank you so much there for that. Brian and Lulu, on behalf of Accessible World Tech Talk, I want to thank you so very much for being here this evening. And they came when a speaker canceled. I always go back to Brian or Jonathan or some of my old friends. I said, help. And Brian said, oh, it just works out that we can do it. And I'm so pleased. And what an outstanding presentation. And this will be heard far and wide if I have anything to say about it. I want to conclude before we give you the final word of any contact information with our coordinator of events, Randy Shelton, and then we'll have Brian and Lulu finish here. Randy, the microphone is yours.
Wow, what a great presentation. Thank you, Brian and Lulu. This is such an exciting program, and it'll be fun to watch it develop and see how far it goes. So congratulations on such a great product. And it's great that we could be on the ground floor, so to speak. So thanks, everybody, for being here. And thank you again, Brian and Lulu, for such a great presentation.
Thank you very much indeed. It's always a pleasure, as I said at the beginning of the presentation, to present for Tech Talk. We always enjoy it, and we're very happy to do that. Thank you so much to everybody for listening and for being with us, and perhaps we could come back at some future stage, maybe next year, and talk about how Leesy is faring, how she's progressing.
Oh, we'd love that, and thank you very much indeed.
And do let us know when version 1 is ready, please. We will spread the word. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a marvelous audience. We thank you. We'll see you next week. This room is yours, as my dear friend, late friend Pat Price used to say. You can talk all night here. What a great, great presentation. Thank you.